Welcome to another episode of Side Hustles and Turnbuckles with your host, Knuckles and Poppy. Now let's get that bell rung and get this thing started.
It is recording.
Okay.
All right, guys, welcome to another special edition of Side Hustles and Turnbuckles, and we are doing a GWF edition with Empire Rising, and we are lucky to have in the presence the stray dog, Barrett Brown. Now, Barrett, I've been talking with a friend of yours, Johnson Conley, and he sent me a bunch of videos of yours from the past that I got to watch, and I never knew how big you were. I mean, I've seen you before on AEW a few weeks ago with Lance Archer, but you made it to the table with Dudley Boyz, got put to a table with Barrett, with Braun Strowman.
Man, it has, I will say the last 14 years, it's been a dream. And it's crazy to think, like, you know, next year I'll turn 30 and I'll have done this for half my life. So the things that, like, this little introverted kid from little Seven Points, Texas, all the things I've gotten to do, realistically never thought that I'd be able to, but, like, to hear you say, like, oh, it's an honor, I mean, man, I appreciate that, but I do my best to stay humble. Like, I mean, being humble has got me where I'm at. So
I love watching your matches, dude. You are so great in all of your matches, dude.
I appreciate it, man.
I mean, I've been watching ever since. We've been coming all since last year. The first Empire Rising, and I haven't missed a show with DFW All-Pro. Every show that you've been in.
Awesome,
you're the best, dude.
I appreciate that, man. And, like, for me, it's all about the moments. You know, like, to me, that's what separates what we do from, let's say, like, MMA or UFC. You know, you go there to see bloodshed and, like, see guys get knocked out. You come to us to feel something. And, like, that's my job, you know. Like, I want to bring you out of, like, the stress of real life, bring you to this world, make you feel some emotions. You go on a roller coaster for about 8 to 15 minutes, man.
Matter of fact, I did read one of your posts the other day on Facebook where you were talking to Tyler about the moments.
It is.
And I agree.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, anyone that wants to call professional wrestling fake, my thing is, like, the emotions are real. That makes this the most real thing in the world. Besides the fact that we don't have an off season. You know what I mean? Like, the only off season we really get is if we do decide to take time off, or if we get hurt if we have to. So I think it's the most consistent, you know, thing you could think of, and one of the most physical things you could think of, honestly.
So, okay, the one question comes to mind, I'm sure you probably get asked this a lot, was how did it start for you?
So it started for me, I mean, since my memory really starts, I was, you know, a fan of WCW growing up.
Yes! Somebody said WCW, not WWE.
Yeah, WCW
was WCW.
So my guy was always Goldberg. Just the aura around Goldberg in his prime always appealed to me. Growing up, he was my guy. And it was just, I wanted to know how that felt to be that guy in front of those people on that stage under those lights.
I think he went beyond that guy.
Well, I appreciate that. But it was just a feeling that I wanted to know. And it was a phase that, you know, it never left. And as I got older and kind of, like, really studied wrestling, it just, that fire never died out. It only got hotter and hotter. And, you know, once I really kind of figured everything out and got older, Shawn Michaels became my guy. I just appealed to his character, how he carried himself, just how he owned the ring. And, yeah, man, I don't know. It feels like it's all happened so fast.
That's cool, though.
Yeah.
So, I guess you're, like, seeing it's happened so fast. Have you ever just take a moment to reflect and go, my God, all this I've done, what the hell? Where's the time went?
Truthfully, yeah. I mean, it is crazy because I started when I was 15 years old, and, you know, obviously being so young, I couldn't really travel a lot because a lot of states that require licenses, you have to be at least 18 to get a license. But, you know, I had humble beginnings, man. My first show was just, like, in Garland, Texas, in, like, a little bazaar in, like, a back room where they, I mean, like, you may have been able to get, like, 20 people in there. But, dude, for me, that was, like, WrestleMania. Like, that was, like, the dream. And then, you know, I would say the lowest attendance I've been in front of was, like, maybe about 7 or 8 people in that building. And then to go and say that I got to, you know, wrestle Braun Strowman in front of 12,000, dude, that's, like, it's a dream. And I will say that I think a full circle moment for me, in 20, I think it was 2018, myself and he goes by Izzy James now, we got to tag team against AOP, where they were still going to be at the time. Oh, so God.
Those are two big old boys.
And they throw like big boys too.
I seen part of that. He showed me part of that on the WWE.
Yeah.
I seen part of that.
So that was in Dallas at the American Airlines Center.
They had Paul Oden with them.
They did. They
did, man. Old manager, man.
Yes, they did. So we got done, and my parents, who have always been supportive, man.
That's like, cool.
They happened, like, they knew I got the extra talent email. They knew I was going to be there, and so they purchased tickets just in case something would happen. Because, and this is a secret for any small guys listening to this, if you're a small guy and you get the email, there's a good chance you'll do something because you make other guys look big. That's just the trick to the trade. So I had the match, and then I got backstage, and I called my mom because something hit me that I'm glad didn't hit me beforehand. I called her, and she answered. She was so happy. She was crying. She was like, oh, my God, do you like you were on TV? And I was like, yeah, but you realize that you just watched me wrestle in the same building that you took me to for our first live event. My mom took me to the American Airlines Center for my very first wrestling event for the WWE when I was like 8 years old, and I got to wrestle in that same building in front of her, actually before me in the ring. And to me, that was just such a cool full circle moment.
That's like a proudest moment, man.
It is.
You know, have your parents and be there supportive of your dream is really cool.
Absolutely. And I will say, man, like I'm one of the few that, you know, I've had parents that since day one, since I said I wanted to do this, they said, if you go all in, you can be yourself, we'll support you the entire way. And I will say, at least in Texas or the surrounding areas, I can count on two hands the number they've missed. They're here tonight for this show.
Yeah, that's cool. Happy dad tonight, too. I know the health problems he had. I was keeping you in my prayers. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, they found the problem. He's all good now, but like the prayers worked, man, and we're really appreciative. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's that support from the fans that's always, you know, kept me going, man. I couldn't ask for a better fan base and for a better support system, man. Seriously, it's been unreal.
You see who's standing over here on the side of you?
I do. I see the man himself.
Big Poe!
What's up, Poe?
How's it going, guys?
How you doing, sir?
How you doing, sir?
Just living the dream, man. GWF tonight, the Hawthorne Theater. It's going to be an incredible night. We're just ready to kick it off soon.
You going to be commentating tonight?
I sure am.
Oh, he's going to be calling the action.
So you're going to be with Doyle tonight commentating.
Yeah, the OG for GWF.
That's going to be a legend. You're going to have to step up your game tonight.
I know it. Or maybe he'll have to bring his back, you know?
I know they didn't really advertise what I'm going to be doing, but I think you'll be excited about what I'll be doing tonight.
I have the inside scoop. I know exactly what you're doing. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, because I asked him last night when he was on Facebook Live. He said, I don't know who I'm fighting yet. I'm like, well, I'll be there to support.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's going to tear the house down, as always.
So they kind of made it like an on-the-fly thing until you got here, or what?
Oh, I mean, I knew what I was going to do.
Oh, okay.
But I just made sure no one else. I have a lot of fun. You know, I come here. This is kind of my release at GWF All-Pro VIP. These shows, this is where I have fun, man. I can do whatever I want, and this is going to be a prime example of that tonight.
So y'all just shaking his head.
Oh, yeah.
It has been such a pleasure to have the incredibly talented. I mean, I always say that there are probably two guys in my mind that are the top unsigned talent in America. He's one of them.
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, unbelievable. And so for him to be in our locker room at All Pro and having our kids be able to learn from him has been invaluable.
And dude, a while back I was coming through your Facebook page. I did not realize how many titles you had at one time. I was like, dang.
Yeah, it's wild, man. You know, when I think about that 15-year-old kid that was breaking in, like having the dream of like maybe one day I'll win a championship. And now, I mean, hey, spoiler alert, you may or may not see me fight for one tonight. Who knows? Who knows? Anything can happen in professional wrestling. So
I did want to say one thing too. When Jonathan showed me all these old videos, he did show me one of you in a Lucha Libre mask that, and I forget what the name of it, but he's like, I don't know if it'd be cool for you to say anything to him. I don't know if people want you to say that, but I forget the name of the guy that you wore, but you didn't see your face because you were to the camera and you had your face covered up when he took the mask off.
So I hate to break everybody's heart, but if you watch this certain kid named Americos get killed by Braun Strowman on Monday Night Raw 2016, that was me. Yeah, I fell victim to Braun Strowman as Americos, and the only reason he beat me is because I couldn't see. Well, that's the only reason.
I believe believe it. I believe it. Hey,
was it mask too big or too big for your head?
Oh, it just covered my eyes. The bright lights had a glare. I just, yeah, he's a big guy, but I couldn't see him. So I'm going to blame the loss on that.
That was your one and only match, the Lucha Libre wrestler.
Right.
And you had to go with the biggest sucker.
I wrestled quite a bit as Americos. I will say, like, they're going to kind of put the fourth wall back a little bit on this. But the reason that I wore the mask for, I'd say, about 4 years was because when I debuted in Arkansas for a major TV company called Traditional Championship Wrestling, ran by Matt Riviera at the time, he wanted me in major programs. He wanted to push me. He was like, you're really talented. But I was bald-headed, clean-shaven. I looked like I was like 14 years old at the time. And he was like, I want to make sure that I can believably be with these bigger guys. What do you think about being under a mask? He gave me the name. I drew up the design. He was like, I love it. Let's market it. Let's get it made. And when I made it, it became my Dusty Rhodes Midnight Rider gimmick. And the rest was history, man. So, but I will say, any promoters or anything that are listening right now, Americos is officially dead. Braun Strowman ate him. Yeah. He is in Mexico with Juan Cena and El Generico raising orphans. He is done. Okay. Americos has served his purpose. He is gone.
Well, what brought you in this business? Because you used to be a cook.
Well, I was a wrestler first, and then I fell back on cooking. Yeah, I broke in back in Chicago in 2004, so I mean forever ago. 2007, I broke my neck. I have rods and screws fused to my spine, and then my fallback plan was cooking. So I grew up in a pizzeria. My godparents owned a couple of pizzerias in Chicago, and then once the pandemic happened and I couldn't make money in food, I met Lou Gotti. I met Lance Romance, and they said, "Well, you've never really been in wrestling in Texas. Let's try out here." So, I mean, it was just as a commentator, and now it's an authority figure and everything else. So, I mean, Texas welcomed me with open arms.
So cool.
Yeah.
I will say, if JT LaMotta did not win the voting poll, I'm glad that Flo's the guy.
I gave him a lot of shit for that. I'm just picking on you.
Oh, absolutely.
The bad guys are always my favorite guys, always growing up. My favorite wrestler, Roddy Piper.
Oh, sure.
And then Dusty Rhodes is another one of my 100%. Favorite.
And, you know, people say that, you know, I'm a heel or a bad guy. I'm not. I just had to kick Mox in his nuts one time. And, you know, it was just anybody shouldn't blame me for that. Mox is very annoying.
Listen, so, I totally get it.
Thank you. Thank you.
I totally get it.
Yeah, exactly. So I've never done anything bad to anybody else. And I'm just a really nice guy.
You've never changed. It's just the circumstances around you changed.
Yeah, absolutely right.
You learn to adapt.
Exactly.
100%.
You got to. I believe you when you said you were honest that your meeting.
Exactly.
And you were honest the other night.
Yeah,
there was no interference on your part.
Exactly. I stayed up at the commentary booth. I just did my thing. So
exactly.
That's all I'm going to do. That's all I'm going to do from now on.
I got something I'm going to show you here in a second. My phone's not working. No, it's something that Jonathan sent me about you.
Oh, okay. And, I'm kind of nervous.
Look, I got to turn on my freaking tablet for the freaking phone won't work. Metro PCS.
I will say, Flo, like, I think that the card tonight is pretty stacked, actually. It's been a long time since I've been at GWO.
Yeah.
It's like,
were you here for last year?
I'm sorry?
Were you here for last year?
I was not. Okay. No, the last time I wrestled at GWF, I think I was still, honestly, I think it was like pre-Americos era Barrett Brown. It's been a long time. So needless to say, I'm coming back after a long time to make a statement tonight.
Oh,
so.
For sure. And we also have to welcome back JT LaMotta, who's 100%. Been on the show for a minute. So glad to see JT back.
So the stray dog is getting unleashed at GWF.
100%.
Wow.
100%.
I need to, you don't got any, like, shirts. In my size, because I'd love to buy a shirt for you tonight. I need like a 3X or a 4X.
I'll have to check the stock that we have tonight.
I'd like to buy one.
Okay, I'll have to check. If not, I'll plug my website on here just a little bit.
Okay. But y'all keep talking just for a second because I want to show him some here.
Oh, no, it's really exciting. You know, anytime we get to see the mind of wrestling, JT LaMotta in the building, you know, accompanying Barrett to the ring, Lil Tony to the ring. I mean, it's just always a joy having him around.
I was the only one that caught on to it out of all my friends said, dude, Raging Bull, JT LaMotta. And they're like, who? I'm like, never mind.
Man. I will say that La Mata is one of the unsung pillars of Texas professional wrestling. And, you know, they call him the mind of wrestling for a reason. His knowledge of this business is
kind of like Paulie Dangerously in a way.
You're not wrong. Like, as if Paulie Dangerously was like a really talented wrestler, that was that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and I mean, having, we had a thing at All Pro Hell and Back, which was Tony, Sed, and Barrett, and JT against a crop of young guys here, and seeing JT back in the ring doing that hardcore stuff right alongside, you know, one of the best wrestlers in the entire world. It was fantastic.
How did I know that was the exact picture you were going to pull up? I knew it. I knew that was the one.
When you say clean shaven, I had to find it real quick.
So you know what's really funny, though, is like I have made the comment, I made it like a couple weeks ago, how I always tend to feel like I never evolve in this industry, and then seeing that picture, and then like there's even another steps above like the crown. As you know, I was the king of Texas at the top, and now it's like the stray dog. I mean,
the stray dog looks different now.
Definitely,
you've evolved to better.
Absolutely,
Brett Brown 2.0.
2.0, I love it.
I guess if there was a Spinal Tap 2.0, there's going to be a Brett Brown 2.0.
Sure.
But, did I go too far with the Spinal Tap reference?
Oh, no, not a bit. Not a bit.
I didn't know.
No, man. Yeah, that's a blast from the past. That's crazy. I love it.
Oh, man. He was just like, I mean, when we were talking about all the stuff he was showing me, we were talking for like hours one night. Because he designed our graphics for the show.
Oh, Macaulay's the best. And, he's so good.
He was like, but I got all your stuff on YouTube, like your matches, where you get, and then when he showed me that picture, he goes, I'm going to show you this picture, but I don't know if he really wants you to see it. And I'm like, oh my God, that's him.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah.
I said, he's young. He looks like, so how young were you when you started in the business again?
When I started, I was 15 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, so I started training October 26th of 2009. And my first match was January 17th, 2010. So that's when it all started, man. And really, it was a fluke. My first match was a fluke. My original trainer, he went by Cody Knight. He was just like a local guy in my area. I made a road trip with him up to Garland. Again, the little sweatshop at the bazaar where really no one showed up to. But hey, to me, it was, again, you know, like a pay-per-view event.
And you're just you probably find some good deals afterwards.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So I went with him up there, and someone didn't show up. He couldn't be there. And he was like, you want to wrestle? I was like, yeah, yes, sir. He was like, all right, well, put me in the match, too, and then you'll have your first match. Dude, I just had, like, a generic Element shirt, like blue jeans and knee pads. I didn't know what I was doing, but I got in there, and, like, I hit clotheslines, hip tosses, and did, like, a crossbody, and I, like, got to the back and bawled my eyes out after it, you know? Like, it was the coolest thing in the world.
Adrenaline
just,
was
like,
running.
Oh, yeah, and, like, I always tell my trainees, I'm like, when you have your first match, you're going to, like, your adrenaline is in overdrive. You're going to watch it back and not realize how fast you're going. Because you're just going to be too excited. Mm-hmm. And just like Killer Tim Brooks told me, and any new guys, please listen. If you think you're going too slow, slow down even more, because you're going way faster than you think you are.
So you get to know Killer Tim Brooks. That's pretty cool.
And after Cody, Cody Knight, I went to Killer. And Killer was, man, I always say this, Killer Tim Brooks laid the foundation of who I will become, and I would say that my experiences built the building on top of that foundation.
Wow.
So it all lives on what Killer laid for me.
And he's gone now, so RIP Mr. Brooks.
And like, here's a crazy story that I love to tell because, it's 100% true. So during the pandemic, when he passed away, I had opened up my training facility to the public, and I let guys come in that obviously didn't have COVID or weren't sick at the time. Like, I didn't want to get sick. So I was in the middle of a class, and I got the phone call that he passed away, and it hurt me so bad because he knew that my dream was to go to Japan. And A, I'm not going to detail about this, but A, I never got to show him the NWA World Junior title, never got to take it to him, and B, I never got to say, Killer, we did it. I got to go to Japan. B, because he always asked me when I saw him every time. He's like, little big man, have you been over there yet? And I was like, not yet, sir, but I'm working on it.
They love you over in Japan, I probably would get to say.
And like, just the fact that I never got to tell him that, it really hurt me. And so I told my trainees, I was like, hey guys, you don't owe me for today, but I can't give you my effort. Like, I can't give you my focus. Like, you don't owe me for today or the next session. Just, I need to call it. And so I sat on my couch and I'm a Christian, so I prayed.
Yeah.
And I was like, look, because I was also burnt out. Like, no opportunities to come up. Wrestling was done. I was like, if I need to step away from the ring and focus on training guys and, like, focus on that to help, you know, carry his legacy, I need a sign to know what to do next. Because if I continue doing, like, in-ring performances, I need to know. Within 2 hours, Rocky Romero called me for New Japan.
Wow.
Yeah. And you can't tell me that wasn't killer up there being like, hey, give the kid a shot.
Absolutely. And you just did New Japan again not too long ago.
Yeah. I went up in the Carlos Cobalt Center.
Yeah, Garland. Yeah. About a month ago.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Man, I'd like to have went to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's been, like I said at the beginning, man, the last, you know, almost 15 years has been a whirlwind. January 17th, I'll be in my 15th year. So basically, I've done this half my life. If I could do it all over again, I absolutely would. And I include all the hardships, because the hardships got me where I am. And anyone out there that gets opportunities, don't let it get into your head. Don't let it build ego, because humbleness will get you to places you would never imagine. And, you know, that's what got me here, and I would never change it.
Oh, yeah, so. Perfect advice, man. Not only just for wrestling, but for everything.
Absolutely. Well, I will say, I'm going to hop off here to get ready for my surprise later. So, Plo, I'm going to pass this off to you, my man. I've talked enough. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
Dude, I'll watch back again sometime.
Oh, absolutely. And also, I'm going to plug the website. So, www.barrettbrownpro.com. Go there. The vlogs or videos or highlights. There is a store page on the website. Please go. My social media is also on there. Go follow me. Go check out the website. Buy a shirt. Buy a wristband. Buy some stuff. I got merch. I got some more stuff coming soon, so stay tuned, follow me, and I will talk to you guys very soon.
Thank you, Barrett.
Thank you, Barrett.
See you tonight, sir. Well, all right, big blow.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Barrett Brown, the one and only, folks, the one and only.
So, we'll go trip back in your past here.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, what has been your most difficult moment doing all this?
Oh, there's nothing that's ever difficult. This is such a journey of love for me. I love this business so much, and I'm so blessed to have a second chance at it. Even the hardships, even being booed out of the building, is a great thing for me. I just I love.
I do it with love, dude.
Of course. No, but I mean, even away from our shows, I love this locker room and this roster. They have become a family to me. I am here for these kids day and night. And it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing.
Okay, let me ask you this. When you first started this and you started doing the commentating,
yeah.
How easy was it, or how hard was it to get into it at first, the call matches?
Yeah, you know, I think as fans, we all kind of call it, whether we're playing a video game,
exactly,
or watching,
yeah,
it on TV,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, we always kind of do it anyway. So, and like my hero, Jim Ross, who I've had the pleasure to meet and work on a cookbook with. I mean, he's one of my favorite people
really?
In the whole world. Absolutely, yes.
Hell yeah.
And so, having idolized him so hard and realizing, you know, that he's one of the absolute best who's ever done it, I found myself at first kind of copycatting what I think he would do. And then eventually I found my own voice and you know, I've had some incredible partners like Nigel Rabid and Kevin Modok for GWF, and just some really great commentary partners.
And who's the guy you got now with you?
That's Kevin Modok, and he's been doing this forever too. So, I mean, he was a referee for a long time. I mean, just he knows every aspect of this business, and he's one of those like angry old men kind of color commentators, you know. So he just kind
of
lets
me feed off of his character, and he can feed off yours.
Exactly. And so I find myself doing a lot of the play-by-play alongside him, and Nigel was so good at play-by-play. That was where I first started to kind of hone my character as a color commentator. So I kind of had two sides of the coin, you know, and like I love doing both, especially now now at All Pro, it's great because, you know, kind of a bad guy or whatever, but I get to sort of be that color commentator that's not so nice. So it's
all right.
Yeah, no, it's great. And I think it adds a little spice, and I think we just have a really great commentary team. And tonight, you know, welcoming back the incredible Doyle King.
You feel kind of a little bit intimidated, or are you just going to say, this is my house, I'm welcome to do it?
Yeah, we're welcoming him back. You know, it's not like we're on his turf. He's on our turf.
Which, and we're just seat warm for
you. We're just showing him the respect that his lengthy career has earned, but he's definitely at our booth tonight. But we will roll up.
Does he still live here in Texas, or does
I honestly don't know. I haven't met him yet. I haven't met him yet.
I haven't either, but I remember him on TV.
Yeah, absolutely. So excited to meet him and to have him here at the show. And I hear he's going to be presenting a new championship belt at the start of the show.
Kind of a little bit intimidating and a little bit for you, at least sitting beside him.
Absolutely.
But it's kind of like being in the middle of sitting beside JR and Jerry the King.
Right on. Absolutely right. But I mean, you know, we've had the fortune to just have so many great people. I mean, I've shared the booth with people like Fuego del Sol and different people. And so, I mean, it's just always a pleasure to get to do something with somebody that's been doing it longer than you. You know, you never stop learning in this business. Exactly.
That's cool, dude. So what would you say has been your craziest match to ever commentate before?
Oh, craziest match to ever call? I mean, anything where it's been, you know, a hardcore rules or last man standing. One that pops up in my head is at the Old American Legion for DFW All Pro. There was a heavyweight championship match between Helio Guerra and Muerte Infernal that went all over the building. And it damn near went 45 minutes. And it was ladders, tables, chairs, everything. And it was, I remember not having a voice after that match. So,
okay, a couple of weeks ago, AEW did a show in the All Out or Full Gear, whatever. And Swerve and Adam Page. Mox is looking to do some kind of like a death match like that with Jay.
Yeah.
And is that something we could look forward to maybe in the future?
Absolutely. I know that Mox is always wanting to push the envelope. Mox wants to do anything and everything to entertain the fans. And he's got a serious blood feud on his hands with his former tag team partner, Jay Ace, coming out costing him the championship. And
suddenly, you take it back. Take it back burner now.
I'm not the bad guy.
No, you're kind of happy about that.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm kind of out of Mox's sights now. So it's going to be perfect. I'm really, really excited for it. So we're gonna have a blast moving forward. But I just know that whenever Mox gets his hands on Jay Ace, it's gonna be bloody.
So everybody knows you as the commentator, but anybody's been listening to GWF or DFW All Pro knows you're the general manager.
Yes.
What kind of matches do we got looking forward to for the new year?
Oh,
we're gonna see a lot more brutal, a lot more heavy.
Yeah, DFW All Pro is just gonna get a lot better. Next year is gonna be incredible for us. Unfortunately, at our last show. So I'll speak on this because probably nobody else will. We unfortunately had to vacate our Sterling Silver Championship. Carlos Diaz is no longer part of DFW All Pro, unfortunately. But
so we're going to look for a tournament now?
We're going to have a tournament in February.
We're going to
have
cool.
The Sterling Silver tournament finals at our show at the end of February.
Another champion is born kind of show for us.
Absolutely. And you know what? The person that's got my stamp on him is LBJ. I don't think you can stop LBJ. I think he's on a trajectory. Oh, he's incredible. There's not a better athlete in our locker room, and candidly speaking, there's not a better person in our locker room. Just a great guy. So I am so excited about his future. On the other side of that coin, Sweet Jay Sharp. I mean, hard to deny that guy.
I'll say it. Real guys do wear pink. Okay, Jay, I'm on your side. Last time I tried to talk to him, he stood standing like this, like no comment.
He's just afraid people are gonna hate him. But if
I don't hate him. Exactly. I'm a good guy. I love the bad guys. You gotta understand about me.
Yeah, Jay Sharp is one of the most talented people we have here. He's also my head of security. I'm sorry, my head of HR.
Good Lord. What a head great of HR. Kind of guy.
Oh, he's perfect. He's perfect in the role. And we're gonna see a lot of him coming up. Him and the Four Seasons, Riley Sinclair, Santiago de Forbes.
And we're gonna look at Chasing the Cash.
Chasing the Cash. He's still kind of a pledge. He's not officially a part of the group yet, but he's definitely working his way in their good graces. And I mean, honestly, guys, and I might be a little bit biased, but we have such an incredible roster. Our talent level is so deep at DFW Wall.
Dude, I'm not even going to lie to you, dude. I have not been anywhere else. I've not been to Vans. I've not been to MPX. I've not been to nothing but you guys.
Yeah.
You guys make me feel like I did back in the day when I went to go watch these guys.
Man.
And it's like y'all brought my love of wrestling back, because I never did know that independent wrestling was as big in Texas as it was. I just thought, man, it's got to be a little small rinky dink.
Right.
But man, good God, it's everywhere, dude.
It is. And I mean, the best part about this is that Lou Gotti is the most unbelievable pro wrestling trainer. The man is a genius. His technical wrestling ability is next to none. And I've never met a better coach. The man is just unbelievable. I mean, you've seen him work. He's an unbelievable wrestler, my God.
He's got a feud on his hand right now with the Camachos. Oh,
the entire family,
Well, right now, too, they've been fighting each other.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, what was it? It was Onyx and Zarek last week, and then Ocho and Angel took on each other
over
in
MPX. Yeah, so sure
it's like,
did.
Holy crap, is Mama Camacho not going to be happy about the whole family?
I mean, you know, I think this actually might do Lou a favor. He's not going to have to really deal with a unified Camacho base. He's kind of picking them off one at a time.
Well, they still got one of them next week at VIP.
He's got Zarek at VIP, which, I mean, Zarek, in my mind, forget about the size of Ocho, the size of Angel. Zarek, for me, is the most dangerous Camacho.
Yeah, he's fast, too. He's speed.
He's a five-tool player. He's got everything. He's dangerous. He's fast. He's powerful. He's explosive. Zarek Camacho is the real deal.
One of the cool things I can say about you guys, man, especially for the DFW All-Pro, VIP, whatever, when you guys are the hardest working crew, because, I mean, y'all got a show every week this month.
Yeah.
And usually y'all do, like, two shows a month. Right. But, man, it's like, we got a show every week this month.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to tell people, hey, forget about the other crap that's on TV. Come watch it, and you're going to appreciate a whole lot more.
Absolutely. It's a whole different level of talent, and you are going to see the people that are on these shows. You're going to see them in the major leagues in a year or two.
I know, and it's a cool thing that I can see them now before they got where they are.
Exactly.
And I can see so many great things in them, man.
For sure. I mean, you can look at somebody like Mox, somebody like Eddie Martinez, Nate Collins, Alejandra, and you just know that they are ready for the next level.
Dude, it's like you're in the school of Mr. Miyagi, and you keep bringing in the next Daniel son.
Exactly.
Sorry, I'm making Cobra Kai references, but I'm waiting for the next season, Danny.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But yeah, dude, man, I'm so happy for you guys, dude. I love this company, and I'm going to be a strong voice for it as long as they let me, man. Because
so appreciated, man.
We haven't been anywhere else. Yeah. We just keep coming here. This is home.
Yeah.
And I just love that. And the thing about it is, if you make everybody, I mean, yeah, you play these characters, right, and they're great. But afterwards, you're also super nice, man.
I appreciate that.
I mean, there were people like back in the day, I'm sure, with Roddy Piper and them, they had to keep kayfabe up.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
They would talk shit after them. Like, yeah, get away from me.
Right.
So, but at least you can say you're not a bad guy, but at least you can say you're not like Piper and you've gotten stabbed.
Exactly.
So
I don't want to get stabbed. I love Roddy Piper. I'm right there with you. Piper was my hero as a kid. Nobody was ever a better talker than Piper. But I don't really want to get
stabbed. Rock could touch Piper.
I agree. And they had that thing at WrestleMania 21, I think, where it was Piper, Stone Cold, and Carlito. They had a little thing in the ring. Yeah. It was so good. And Piper proved even then. Austin's great on the stick. He's no Piper.
Hey, in a few weeks, we're going to get lucky enough to interview April Holm. She's one of the ladies that was in Gorgeous Women of Wrestling.
Yeah.
And I forget which one she was. But we're going to get to interview her. We got an interview set up with Tonga Kid.
Amazing.
And if everything works out right, Tonga may be bringing in Rikishi, because we've been waiting on him for past 2 months? Marcus, past 2 months?
Yeah.
He's been moving into a new house.
Love that.
And so he told us that if we give him some time, he'd get Rikishi in on it. And we're going to talk to him and see, not only can we get Rikishi, but maybe if he can talk to Dwayne and see if Dwayne is like calling in.
Hell yeah.
But we also got that. And then we got a friend that knows Lou that lives in Cincinnati. And his name is Angel Miguel Torres. As a matter of fact, he's wrestled Lou.
Oh, nice.
He's trying to send us a copy of the DVD of him wrestling Lou and wants you to give it to Lou.
And, I love that.
He knows Abdullah the Butcher, and he's going to get us an interview with Abdullah. We've already talked with Congo Kong.
Jeez.
And Congo Kong's pretty cool, and I learned something about him that he got that name from Violent J, and I'm a juggalo, so
yeah.
I did not know he was part of the Insane Clown Posse.
That's amazing. I love ICP as well. In fact,
I go to all their shows.
Violent J is going to be down at Texas Wrestling Cartel.
We're thinking about going. Yeah. We are thinking seriously about going, but we may or may not.
Yeah.
But dude, it's such an honor to have you. But we still want to have you back. I still want to have you come back and talk to you longer.
Yeah, I would love it, man. Absolutely.
But Marcus, anything you want to say? You've just been sitting all back, all quiet.
I'm just listening and enjoying the conversation.
Okay. Well, we got Flo. We got the Godfather here. Yeah. I mean, not the Godfather, but the voice behind the voice.
If Lou is the Don Father, I'll be the Godfather.
I got to ask you a question, Flo.
Yeah.
When you went to watch the Von Erich movie, what did you think about the movie?
Man. Such a great experience being there, being able to meet and talk to Kevin, and being able to see Zac Efron and all those guys. The movie surprised me how great it was. Not that I wasn't expecting that it was going to be fantastic, but the wrestling scenes that were choreographed by Chavo, just everything in the movie hit. And
now, who did Chavo play? Did he play Skandar?
No, Chavo played the Sheik. Chavo played the Sheik.
I can't remember the Sheik. All I remember is Skandar.
Yeah, and no. Chavo did the little in-ring, just a very brief moment, but he also choreographed every scene.
Now, somebody said the only thing that was wrong with the movie was Zac Efron should have played Carrie, and the guy that's playing Carrie should have played Kevin.
I can see that. I think their bodies were a little bit swapped. Zac Efron got so big, which is kind of like Carrie. And then Jonathan
told me that when he watched the movie, said they didn't even mention anything about Chris till the very end of the movie.
Correct.
Nor did they mention Jack Jr.
Correct.
Till almost the end of the movie.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think they kind of towed the right line as far as like not making it too sad. You know what I mean? Like they definitely were able to interject humor, action, and then of course having to deal with Carrie losing his leg, Carrie passing away, David passing away. Right. Absolutely, Mike. So, I mean, it was definitely sad on sad on sad, but they did a really good job at kind of spreading it out and kind of making the rest. You definitely laugh, cry, and appreciate the whole family.
Well, I've been trying to tell the people that don't know anything about the Von Erichs, don't want to go see it. I'm trying to tell them it's kind of like seeing the Titanic. When you're going to see a boat crash somewhere in the movie.
Yep.
But there's going to be people dying in the movie. If you don't know anything about the Von Erichs, tell them to watch Dark Side of the Ring.
Oh, yeah.
And see all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even the people who were there, I mean, watching it with people like Lance Romance and Big Sed and people that were there and kind of lived in that era, they came away saying, well, I didn't know that happened. Like, I knew all about that, but I didn't know about that. And so you do kind of learn things that maybe you weren't aware of,
I do have one question about that. Did anybody play David Manning, the referee?
Because
I would figure he had to be a big part in it.
Yeah, not they didn't name any referees by name.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because
no,
he was one of the main guys. He was one of the guys that helped book and all that.
Oh, sure.
On the side.
Yeah. I mean, he was definitely in Fritz's office in the movie, right? And he was definitely a part of the movie as far as that. But as far as the referee, and I forget who the backstage correspondent was, but they also spotlighted him a little bit.
You talking about like a wrestling reporter?
Yeah.
Would it have been Dave Meltzer, probably, possibly?
No, it wasn't a man. Was it Mark LaRance, maybe?
Yeah. He was the commentator back then. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So they kind of put a spot on him. Yeah, he is still around.
He's a Methodist preacher somewhere, and I think he's in Middle Lothian or like outside of Mansfield.
He used to come up here and work the World Class Revolution shows with Brittany Houtland.
They
teamed up and did some commentary together for those shows.
What kind of shows did they do for World Class up here?
Well, yeah, they did them at the Southern Junction in Irving. They did two or three shows.
Oh, yeah, you went to one of them. Wasn't Teddy Long at one of them?
I believe so. Yeah.
You went to one. You were telling me about
it. It was a fun little time. I think they had Mick Foley out there once. They had Jeff Jarrett out there once. So, I mean, they definitely did a good job. Action Jackson was all over those shows. And
what would you say the coolest, nicest wrestler you've ever got to meet?
Oh, my gosh. I got to meet Vince McMahon once. Sorry, I'm stuttering. Vince McMahon once, and I was so, I've never been that starstruck in my entire life. Yeah, I could hardly talk. I just said, you know, hello, sir. And he goes, how you doing? And I just walked away. I couldn't even talk after that.
I'm sure McMahon's going, okay.
Yeah, he's probably like, who's that freak? I'm like, I just couldn't.
Where was this at?
This was at the American Airlines Center.
For the WrestleMania show?
Yeah. It was actually the Raw after Mania. And
the one they kept saying that it was in Dallas, but it was in Arlington.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so this was the one at the American Airlines Center, the Raw after Mania, and it was definitely star-studded. I can remember being in the backstage area and seeing Shane McMahon, Enzo Amore, Chris Jericho, Triple H, Ric Flair, just being like, I shouldn't be here. I don't know what I'm doing, but it was still a very, very cool experience.
Did you try to ask for any autographs?
No, absolutely not. I try really hard not to. I will say one of the coolest things that's ever happened to us was working the Tomahawk show in Lufkin. It was me, Nigel, and Brittany.
Was that the one last year?
Yeah, and we ended up after the show at an IHOP with Jacob Fatu and Rikishi. And,
shit.
That was one of the coolest experiences, just being like, you know, I grew up on Quiche, and, you know, I'm lucky enough to be friends with Jacob now. And I mean, just stuff like that. You never expect it to happen. And, you know, being at the last Tomahawk show with Axe from Demolition and Tommy Dreamer and Virgil and Buff Bagwell. I mean, it's just for me, who, like, my fandom was like late 80s, early 90s. You know, I'm 38. So, like, just being able to kind of see the people that I grew up idolizing. Axe from Demolition was my hero. I cried when I met him. And he was so sweet to me. He was so nice, you know. He even, like, sent me a message on Instagram the day after. And he was like, it was really great to meet you. And I'm like, oh my God, you know who I am. You know, so stuff like that never gets old. It's just always
you still
amazing.
Have that Instagram?
Of course I do. Yeah. I'm never going to erase it.
I wouldn't be surprised if you don't just get a copy of it and put it on a memory card and go copy it off at Walmart.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, so stuff like that, having the chance to meet people that you grew up watching is always cool.
You should have a photo album of all the people you've
honestly,
met.
Yeah. I mean, my Instagram pretty much acts as one. I mean, like, I've got me and Dreamer, me and Axe, me and, you know, a whole bunch of people.
Tommy Dreamer would be the coolest.
Tommy Dreamer's so neat. And me and Brittany, who do commentary for Tomahawk, just found out that we are going to get to call a TNA championship match, Tommy Dreamer versus our friend Brian Keith.
Oh, shit, Tomahawk. Bounty Hunter.
The Bounty Hunter. And it's going to be amazing. And the fact that TNA has sanctioned a championship match January 6th in Lufkin.
That's that one where Tommy Dreamer's going to be.
Yeah.
Told you we need to go
He's wrestling. He's going to wrestle Brian Keith for the TNA Multimedia Championship.
Ooh. That's only, what, 4 hours away from here?
4 hours,
yep. We could do that and come back the same night.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hell yeah, dude.
We always do it. Yeah, please come. Yeah, it's going to be a great match.
Do that, dude. I want to go see Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah, and also that night, I mean,
dude, I grew up to ECW.
Lance Archer is going to be in the house for that. Scotty Too Hotty is going to be there.
Oh, wow.
There's going to be a Royal Rumble that's going to be incredible. And I'm going to spoil a little bit. My boys LBJ and Jay Sharp and Rocco Montana are going to be in that Rumble.
Damn.
And it's just going to be an unbelievable night. And on top of all that, well, it's just going to be a great show. Well, let's just say that.
Well, maybe me, Mindy, and Marcus will come down there.
Come on down. It's going to be great. Those Tomahawk shows feel like premium pay-per-view events always. The crowd in Lufkin, I mean.
Well, I wanted to go to that one last year for sure.
Yeah, just always, always a great time. And for some reason,
I mean, the Von Erichs were at that one. Tommy Dreamer was at that one. God, I was looking at that saying, you know, we should have went to that one.
Yeah. Like, oh, no. The Von Erichs were incredible. I love Ross and Marshall. They are great people. And
they wrestled just like their dad. I mean, I've seen them wrestle live.
Yeah. Yep.
They wrestled for that Ric Flair final match pay-per-view, which I thought was kind of a lousy last match for him to go out on.
Yeah.
He was too blown up and too winded.
For sure.
He needs another one to redeem himself.
I don't know if he does. I feel like, you know, I understand.
Dwayne, I'm hearing he's still drinking again.
It seems like it. You know, he's posting some questionable stuff on social media. That's talking about, you know, Tony Khan, you can give me back my, or I can give you back your money. I don't have to work type stuff. I don't know.
Wow.
We love Nature Boy, though. He's our hero.
Yeah,
you know,
I grew up to him, dude.
Grew up on him, and just hope that everything's cool with him. But, yeah, I mean, whew. I don't think I need to see another match. I feel like him and Shawn Michaels at Mania 24 was such a great match.
Where he told him I love him, and then he super kicked
him. Yeah, I mean, what an ending. I get not wanting that
and
to
dude,
be the end.
Watching that next night on Monday Night Raw, that shit that he got, that made me cry.
When Harley Race came out, and Greg Valentine, the Horseman, Undertaker,
I had the
Vince.
DVD box set that had that on there.
Yeah.
And man, normally when you watch stuff, I can feel it. Yep. So when it's that good, you get goosebumps.
100%.
And even Nate was crying. Oh, yeah. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. No, that was very special.
I was like, man, do we really have to retire him? I really felt for him. And I was like, man, this guy's been around for years.
Yeah.
But God then, bless, dude, he was a hardworking freaking champion,
dude. Gosh. I mean, when you work that many days a year, it's hard to turn it off and say, okay, I'm never going to do it again. So I get why he went to TNA. I get why he had that run. And
well, when he was in NWA back in the 80s, before there was WCW, he was in NWA.
Yep.
And he was the NWA champion. Mm-hmm. He was going from promotion to promotion that was associated with the NWA, like world class, and taking on people like Kerry or whoever, like one of the biggest guys there. And then going the next night and then wrestling somebody else in another state and before he even ever gets back to Atlanta.
Exactly. And he tells those stories like, you know, he would fly to Japan and work and then right back to St. Louis and work. And I mean, just insane schedule.
You don't see wrestling like that. Wrestling that champion caliber do that anymore.
No. The travel nowadays is so watered down, you know.
Because
it's good for the health of the performers.
I'm not saying the WWE doesn't rag their talent and run them ragged. But I think working for Tony Khan would probably be better, in my opinion, than working for WWE.
Sure. Yeah, as far as the schedule, absolutely.
Because, I mean, you guys get like Del Fuego and Brian Keith and even Keith Lee.
Absolutely.
And they're able to like...
John Morrison?
Yeah, John Morrison.
Yeah.
He kicked me in the face last show on accident, but I thought it was funny.
Well, shoot, we have that happening next weekend, VIP, built different.
I just have to ask real quick, if you can, what kind of match are we looking forward to? Is it just going to be a straight-up match, or are they going to make it some kind of really...
No, between John Morison and J.D. Griffey? No, that's just going to be a regular championship match.
No pinching hands.
They already did that. We want to see a traditional match. We want to see a pinfall or a submission. And I think people are going to be really into that match. And then, of course, John Morrison's wife, Taya Valkyrie, against La Leona.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Too.
Yeah.
Then I'm kind of looking forward to Fuego del Sol taking on Jonathan Gresham, man.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Yeah.
I think Jonathan's going to have a handful of that little dude's wiry ankle.
Yeah. And then my close personal friend, Trey Miguel, taking on Dante Leon and Chris Carter.
Chris Carter, the stuff that he did at the Hideout just blew me away. I never seen him before. The first time.
Chris Carter is one of those one-of-one athletes, just a freak show.
I left seeing Ray who? Mysterio what?
Yeah. Chris Carter, you know, regardless of how Dutch Mantel wants to portray him for taking the power bombs from Rick Savage.
Really?
Dutch had some choice words. Wanted Chris Carter to email him and talk about see how his neck was and tell him not to take bumps like that. I get it, you know, but Chris Carter's doing all right. Chris Carter knows what he's doing. I feel like he knows his limits and what a guy.
Chris Carter, yes. I was just impressed.
And then one of the matches at VIP that I cannot wait for, the Rascals, Myron Reed and Zach Wentz taking on Superiority Complex, who we haven't seen here in DFW yet.
I'm kind of curious about that one.
Exodus Prime, who we know and love our champion for All Pro, but with Stephen Wolf, the reigning New Texas Pro champion.
Where does he come from?
He's out of Houston. Well, originally he's out of Peoria, Illinois, so my stomping grounds up north, but they formed a tag team down in Austin, Houston, and it's their first time up here. They are the current reigning and defending Inspire Pro Twin Dragon champions, but now they're hoping to win the VIP tag team champions, and I'm telling you right now, you're going to be very impressed if you know what Exodus is capable of.
Yeah, we do.
Stephen Wolf is a mirror image of Exodus.
You know, I'm going to say something about the one thing about Exodus. He's cocky, but he's got the skills to back it up. When you're that cocky, when you're that skillful, talk your shit, dude.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there ain't nothing after last week's show or a couple of weeks ago. There ain't nothing that boy can do.
I mean, that match that he had with Matty Kizzy and LBJ blew my mind. I thought that was one of the greatest championship matches we've ever had.
And I did predict it. I said it was going to be Matty that would get the pinfall. And it was.
Unfortunately, unfortunately, you know, or maybe fortunately, you know, Saul Good interjecting at the end.
That was kind of cool.
Those two need to go one-on-one and finally solve this, because they've been at each other's throats, it seems like, for a year now. I mean, Maddie.
You can make it happen.
I can, and I'm thinking about it. Unfortunately, Saul Good has that challenge for Lou Gotti out there.
That's
going to happen at the Hideout the 17th. And that's going to be on the fly too. So it's going to be Saul Good versus Lou Gotti.
Saul better start lifting
weights. I don't know. I think Lou Gotti needs to triple up on the Pepto-Bismol so he can make sure that he's good to go, because Saul Good's coming for him. The undefeated Saul Good, who technically holds a victory over the Don Father already.
And I had told him that. I told him that a couple of weeks ago. He's sitting in the crowd by us. I said, dude, a win's a win. I'll give it to you.
Amen.
So but before we let you go, I was going to tell you, we happen to know a couple of wrestlers out in your neck of the woods in Chicago that we're friends with. There's a lady by the name of Demeter Starr, and she's in Alpha Bitches of Domination Wrestling.
For sure.
I don't know if you ever heard of her.
I have.
We're friends with her, and we're friends with Phil Christie. Okay. And he's one of the, I guess he's the one that helps own it or promotes it with her.
Nice.
And he's an old guy from like the 60s and 70s.
Oh.
And he was what you called an enhancement wrestler.
Yeah.
And we've had him on the show twice, and he's talked with us, and we've had Demeter on. I got her phone number.
Love that.
And we're supposed to be having her on here again.
Excellent.
But he told us stories about when he was in a battle royal over a cliff and getting thrown into 20 feet below into a water down below over a cliff. And it was George Animal Steel that picked him up and threw him out of the ring into the water down below.
Wow.
And he said, don't let anybody ever tell you it don't hurt to fall 20 feet into the water, because it hurts like a sunbitch.
I bet. I definitely bet.
Well, Flo, thank you, man, for coming on, dude. It was fun.
Y'all.
Thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely. I can't wait to do it again.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Dude, whenever.
Yeah.
Mandy said she made chicken and dumplings. You want to come over?
Let's go. I'm ready for that.
No, you're the chef. But
hey, I'll never turn down free food. Let's go.
You hear that, Mindy?
What? Anytime.
He said I told him to make chicken and dumplings.
Let's go.
Okay, I'll bring him to Hideout. Hey, sure.
No, it said he comes over.
Yeah.
Come over to the interview.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll make you a big
one. Once we do part two of this, I'll be there.
Definitely.
Dude, if you want to come over this weekend, if you ain't busy, we'll do it.
Let's go. Absolutely.
Maybe Jack will come out this weekend.
Let's do it. Well, I think doors are about to open, so
okay.
I'm going to go ahead
and get put up. Thank you so much, and I really mean it. And I got orders your stuff.
Love it, man.
It'll be in a couple of weeks.
Can't wait.
Okay.
See you guys.
Well, thank you, sir.
See you.
You've been listening to another episode of Side Hustles and Turnbuckles. Make sure you follow our Facebook page to keep up with everything that we've got going on. Until next time, this is Big Skinny with the Podsec Studio in Fort Worth, Texas. We'll see ya at the matches.